Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I think you've got to be ready to either cover your ears or unwax them, because Pete's about to have a rant. This is episode 14 of the Premier Non-League Podcast.
This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
So it's been, what, 5 weeks, gentlemen, since we've all got in a Zoom room and got together, because we did the Laurie Wilson, which was a fantastic insight into Laurie's career. Hope you all enjoyed it, who've listened to it. Great guy, really good to hear from him. And he was worried about time, Trev, wasn't he? But he was the one that ended up talking more than us.
No, he's worse than Chris Dixon, weren't he? I mean, we thought we chatted a lot, you know, didn't he? But yeah. But no, he was great, wasn't he? Flowed really nicely, and he's, you know, not just passionate about his football, but about his business he's building off the pitch as well, which a lot of players have got to consider as they get towards the tail end of their career, haven't they? Especially the semi-pros.
Exactly. No, that's it. It's good to hear he's still got the hunger for the game, but he's doing some personal stuff, which is setting himself and his family up for the future. Chris and Pete, obviously, haven't spoken to you guys for a few weeks now. How have you been getting on?
No game. I've actually had my first little kind of wobble. Just completely fed up about a fortnight ago. Totally fed up. Just the last year kind of taking its toll, I suppose. But through that now, and hopefully with what's happened today with the reopening of non-essentials, we can crack on.
Yeah.
You can go get a haircut, Chris.
I did mine yesterday. I beat everybody to it.
Super.
Well, for those that can't see him on camera, he's got a lovely, luscious set of dreadlocks peeled over the years in the Caribbean. So, you know, I'll put that thought in your head. Pete's hair's growing back, talking about hair, when he cut himself with a number one all over or something the other week.
Yeah, it's coming back slowly but surely. Give my barber a shock when I walk past today. Found it quite amusing.
Well, in the non-league world, it's been a little bit quiet again, but things are starting to pick up. Training sessions are happening. I know for a fact, as a Worthing fan, the pitch has opened down. People are hiring training sessions for the men and women's team. There's been a new women's manager announced, and there's been a couple of friendlies which Worthing have convinced you win. Chris, have Southshield been doing anything similar? I know your ground's a bit of a building site, as you sort of said, but have they been training or anything anywhere else?
Well, the players have had their own individual training plans for some time. Well, I suppose the individual plans have been on and off for the last 13 months, but I spoke to Chief Exec Lee Picton a few weeks ago, who said that really this is going to be probably the longest pre-season training schedule in history. So I guess that the players will still be doing their own, because they'll be on furlough, because they are, or, you know, South Shields is gone fully professional. So, you know, South Shields Football Club is now a full-time club. So everyone is furloughed, bar, I think, probably 2-3 staff. So the players will be doing their own little bits and pieces, but I guess they'll be going back in. I've got a feeling around about May time. But the ground is a building site. Well, not fully yet. But today the pitch has been completely ripped up in readiness for a new grass being laid, a new seed going in. So it took about 3 inches off the surface today. So hopefully it'll be in tip-top condition come July.
Well, make sure they're putting the right grass seeds down, Chris, because you know what you like in South Shields.
What's that meant to mean? I've no idea. What are they like in South Shields, Pete? Go on, digress.
I've just heard. Chris, heck of a statement from South Shields to go full-time as a step-free club.
Yeah, massive.
That is huge.
It is huge. But it's been, and that was something that we had a Q&A with Lee Picton 3 weeks ago, And that was a question that was put to him, you know, why? And it is a huge step. And is the club not leaving itself out, you know, hanging itself out to dry and going to get ridiculed if things don't go quite according to plan? But as he said, this has been an incremental move to full time over the last, 2 years now. When the club moved to a hybrid model of some full-time, some part-time. And really last season, I mean, there's only four players who, there were five part-time players. That was all that was left. And now four of them have gone. So we've lost Craig Baxter, Phil Turnbull, Lee Mason, and the other one, the name escapes me, but the Robert Briggs, who's the club captain. The club are hopeful that he will stay. He's part-time, but the club are hopeful he'll be able to stay and commit to the full-time model. He does have a good job with BT Openreach, so it that's up in the air at the moment. But it's a big statement, but it's been an incremental move. So it's not, in terms of budget, it's not a real huge difference. And the club are kind of streamlining the playing numbers. So there's already been those four lads they've gone. Those four part-time lads who would have been on good money. There's no doubt about that. All of them have played their conference level, so they've been on good money. And Aaron Thompson, who had just had an academy graduate. He's now been released and he's moved to West Auckland. So they are kind of cutting their cloth in order to, I think probably they're going to replace five players with maybe two high class. So it's not a huge leap, although it is in, I think if you think, oh, well, at our level, we've got a professional club. It's been all but professional for the last 2 years, people.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Is it going to affect anything? I presume South Shields have got the same setup as most clubs. You've got academies and other teams. Is it going to affect funding further down to those teams and affect them?
No, because a lot of the junior teams are under the auspices of the South Shields Football Foundation, which is a charitable arm. So the academy itself is, you know, club run, and it has players in its system from the ages of from 11 to 16 with a local school. That's called the Futures Academy. Then the Academy for a 16 to 18. That's under the auspices of the main club. But a lot of going from ages 5 to 16, they come under the auspices of the Football Foundation, which is a charitable arm. So that's all kind of taken care of, if you like.
That's fair enough then. It just sounds very exciting, to be honest.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, we just want to get back. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, but there's lots going on at the ground.
I saw what you tweeted. What was that picture of down the side of the pitch or something today?
The whole ground is going to be completely tarmac. So okay. All the ground level is going to be all clean tarmac. We put the old sheds, the old kind of terraced areas, they've been modified and they're going behind the goal at the factory end where there's very, very little space. But all four sides of the ground will have cover.
Nice.
And there's going to be two levels of terrace in there. And then we're just waiting on the final go-ahead for the new 1,000 seat stand, and the plans for that are phenomenal. If it all comes to fruition, visitors to the club will get a huge, huge surprise because it's going to be fantastic.
Will the stand be ready for next season, or is that like a longer term goal? Is that what they're trying to?
The stand will be ready for the start of the season, but potentially just as a stand for people to watch the match from. The underneath infrastructure where there'll be the new club shop, there will be a new bar which will kind of run half the length of the pitch underneath the stand. That probably won't be ready. The 14 to 16 executive boxes may not be ready, but the stand in terms of being able to sit and watch the game or stand and watch the game, that will be fully functional. But I think the idea is that it's likely that the stand, the whole development won't be fully functional till maybe September. But there'll be a new club shop, bar, media room, boardroom, 14, 15, 16 executive boxes. It's going to be major.
Really very exciting.
Very exciting indeed.
Yeah, it seems strange talking about non-league and executive boxes, to be honest.
Yeah, well,
there's always an appetite for prawn sandwiches somewhere, isn't there?
There's a lot of supporters. I remember when we did well in the FA competitions, the FA Vars, the Trophy, the Cup. A lot of supporters for a one-off, particularly cup games. Sometimes they just think to themselves, "Hey, let's do a corporate. Let's chip in together, and we'll all go for a corporate day."
God, can I imagine Pete doing that? He'd probably get his finest tuxedo on, walking like his shit don't smell, and like, "Oh, where's my box, lads?"
Yeah. But, no, it's going to be new perimeter fence going around the pitch, new stand, new pitch. I mean, as I say, it's been completely ripped up today. The machines have gone in and ripped a good 2 to 3 inches up off out of the surface because there's a lot of thatch growing within the root structure, so the drainage wasn't working, so that's been ripped up. The drainage gullies are all going to be repaired, new surface going in. So it's going to basically, Lee Picton, who's new, you know, his role as chief exec, his overall mandate is to improve match day experience for every visitor. And that, the way they're going, that is exactly what they're going to achieve. We can't wait to get back. Just to be around everyone again and enjoy the social side of what non-league football is about.
Well, Trevor, Pete, Johnny and Ian, I guess, I think Trip Up North's calling.
Yeah,
do we get an executive box? Can you get a black as well? I think that's only fair. The PNLP executive box.
Well, I'll see if I can pull a few strings.
There you go. I've got these Southern Softies coming up. We've got to show them a good Newcastle Northern time.
Well, actually, I'm coming down your way in September. A little bit out there. I'm coming down to Southampton.
Not too far. Not only an hour down the road.
My brother and I have signed up to do the Southampton Marathon.
Oh, amazing.
On September the 4th. So we will be down south on the Saturday, which is the 3rd of September. So we might take a game in somewhere.
All right, there's a team that begins with W and ends in G that would quite nicely... Sod's Law will be in East Anglia or something like that. Away to Leiston or something in the cup. No chance.
Margate. <It'd be>
good. Yeah, Margate, the other side of the county. I mean, that September gods, can you imagine? Like, it's such a nice thought to think that we could be watching football with full crowds again. But
let's be optimistic and think that we could be watching with crowds in July. There's nothing to stop, you know, our season. I don't know what the Ishmael's going to be, but
middle of August,
14th of August, which is a week earlier than normal. So you guess that preseason will stay, you know, a week earlier than normal. So nothing stopping us from being hopefully able to take something in the first week of July.
Still seems a long way away, though, doesn't it?
Well, I might be in the Hive next month, let alone bleeding July or August.
Why would you want to go to the Hive next month? It's not exactly there's anything there to celebrate right now, is there, Trev? He stays very silent.
Doesn't make any difference, does it? It's about
to be fair, as I said to you at the weekend, I had Barnet on my Acca. I put them down to draw because I didn't think they were good enough to win. And blow me, they actually did draw. But then Liverpool, no, it wasn't Liverpool. They won in the end. Some other, the Portsmouth let me down. So of all teams you'd think are in form, Barnet sorted me out for the first time in ages, and then Ports have let me down.
It's got to be the only time they've lost someone on Acker, I think, this season.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Barnet have got reason to celebrate because they're not going down this year.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah. Trev's going up with the champagne. He's going to spray it on the pitch like they've won promotion because they've got away with murder.
Massive gamble.
Lads, speaking of that, I mean, in the National League North, Blyth Spartans are going to get away with it again. They won't be getting relegated. They've been bottom for the last two seasons with a horrendous record, and they've got away with it again. That might lead us on to Peter's rant. I don't know.
Well, I think we're easing that way. I mean, you know, it might be out of turn here, but it must be frustrating from a side like yourself, Chris, that, you know, you're so close to getting to that National North, and yet you've got a team like Blyth that are getting away with murder two seasons in a row. Mm. And you're sitting there thinking, we could be up there. That could be the team we replace. It is hard to see.
It is hard, but it is what it is. And I think, although it still rankles, and I probably said this in a previous podcast, it still rankles and it always will. It just is what it is. Just get on with it. Let's get back to enjoying a bit of football, a bit of sport, a bit of the social life, and do what we do to take away the difficulties of the humdrum of day-to-day life.
Sorry, Chris. I can't let it lie.
I know you can.
Basically, what's come out today?
Pete, explain what's come out today, because if someone hasn't listened, what are you going to go on a rant about before you go on your rant?
Basically, what they're saying is they're going to do a league restructure of the non-league system. So from steps 5 to 7, I believe, if I'm correct. Now, basically, there's lots of spaces further up the pyramid in the National League, and I believe in the National South as well. There's spaces in there to make those leagues 24, which they aren't at the moment, which the FA wanted to do. So they've said, right, now we'll do steps 5 to 7, and we'll, you know, let teams be promoted, et cetera, et cetera. And what we'll do is we're going to base it on the results of the last two seasons, which includes a season which they made null and void. So how can they make a season null and void, scrap those results from the book, and say those games didn't happen, even though they collected all their fines, all the rest of it, but I said that season didn't happen, and we can't go back to that because it's history. And they're saying, yes, we can. Now, how is that fair, and why can't they level the whole pyramid up like Project Non-League wanted to do? They'd done all the maths, all the calculations, and worked it all out, and there's rooms for clubs. And they could have based ours on two seasons like they're doing steps 5 to 7. So, yeah, I'm fuming.
Yeah.
I think
you wouldn't be, Pete. Sorry, Chris, go on.
No, you, Trev, you go on. I was just going to say, yeah, rightly so. You know, you go on, mate.
The thing with the restructure, though, was it was never designed to hit steps 1, 2, and 3. And step 4, it didn't actually hit that level apart from the creation of an extra division. So what they're doing is building this perfect pyramid, although it wasn't designed with what they were looking to do to fill gaps further up the chain as it goes. It was literally to fit this perfect bit in. So it's kind of as if they're trying to do one bit, but where the issues of them come from steps 1 to 4 by COVID happening, by Macclesfield disappearing, by Bury disappearing, it actually needs a wider look at. And I think in sort of some respects, if you look at, say, 5 to 7, the FA don't treat it as seriously as you do a little bit further up the pyramid. So you kind of feel they can get away with tweaking that kind of level. But if they then start looking up a bit higher, and for example, they go, right, there's a gap here, so right, we'd like to send Worthing up, and then Craig put their hand up and go, hang on, we've had there's just a good record as they've got, you know, should there not be a little space for us? And then someone in the Southern League pipes up and goes, hang on, if Worthing go up, but then we've got good basis to say we've had two relatively good seasons as well, do we then play off against Worthing to try and go up? it's like, I can understand it, Pete, from, you know, the further up the pyramid bit, but it's if they're trying to do the little bit they can and it's not quite so noticeable, but not really tackle the problems where we've got the gaps from the National League down, you know, to step three and four. So it's almost as if they're trying to have a go, but not trying to have a go and upset the apple cart too much. That's how it looks to me.
Chris?
Yeah.
It's right, no, though, isn't it? I mean, that's just how right.
It could. It don't sound right, but it is right what they do. You know, I can see where Pete's coming from. It's probably... from a fan's point of view of what you're saying is like I just said to Chris before we got onto this topic, like you've got Blyth Spartans that are absolutely stealing a living up in the National North for the past two seasons, where a team like South Shields should have been promoted. It's just like us in Worthing, you know, I don't know if there's a team like in the National South that have been as bad, but you feel wrong. No matter what the original restructures like that they're doing, there should be some sort of other informal or formal restructure to sort out the pyramid.
Yeah, but it's not just that though, James. It's the fact that they're saying they're going to use the data from a season that was null and void. When the chairman that I you know listen to him on another show, and they were saying, well, when people were suggesting can't use the data from the two seasons because some teams have played 42 games, can use that. Oh, we can't use that data because that season was null and void. And now the FA are deciding that they can use the data from a null and void season to decide step slower than us. Yeah. And I just think it sucks a little bit and takes a bit of the integrity out of the league system.
Yeah, that's
what
I can tell. Yeah, quite agree.
But I think the integrity of the system was lost 13 months ago, you know, so we talk of integrity. There is no integrity. Never will be. If you look at Mr. Barwick at the National League, what has he done behind the scenes? No one knows what kind of influence he's had on things that have been going on. And he must have had some, yet nothing said. Now he said he's going at the end of the season. So really, there has been no integrity for 13 months. And that's why I'm kind of cool with it, because 12 months ago, I was getting myself, you know, in so many social media rants with various people, was told that there are people dying and, you know, you're talking about football and there's people dying and things like that. And here we are 12 months later, 13 months later, and we're kind of talking about very similar things, that there's been no integrity in, you know, there probably hasn't been much integrity in football for donkey's years, but over the last 13 months, there certainly hasn't been any at all.
I mean, Chris, I think it's when you say, though, like Pete and I were interviewing our chairman from Worthing for our Rebel Yell podcast, and he said the thing that frustrated him was the fact that the season was null and voided, which is now they're revoking on, as Pete says quite rightly. But a few days later, they announced a furlough scheme. So I think what got him, and he obviously, you know, from that's how we got into sort of knowing each other, is from Worthing chatting to South Shields and part of that thing. That was the thing that frustrated them the most. But now, as Pete says, they're coming back now, un-null and voiding. I guess they could say un-null and voiding it, because that's what they're doing. If they had done what they've done this season and curtailed it and said, look, we'll bank the results, and what's happened this season, I think, I mean, you could always talk about in hindsight, but I think we would have all been talking different things if they had curtailed seasons and added them to the season results. And, you know, probably us four sitting here now would have been very happy football fans for the clubs, but it hasn't happened. But that's where the frustration comes from.
I think the one, I know Pete is very, very angry and rightly so, but the one person who I guess should be even angrier is Jeff Thompson, the Shields chairman, who was hit with £250,000 legal bill.
Of course.
For kind of taking the, you know, the opinion that it shouldn't be null and voided. So now they're going to, you know.
So it's early days. Obviously, it's just been announced today as we're recording on Monday, the 12th of April.
Yeah.
What do you know? You know, obviously, Jeff personally. Do you think, I mean, I'm sure you'll find out, do you think he might look at legal, like, because it doesn't seem right that the thing he was fined for, or not fined for, he had obviously the expenses, sorry, is now exactly quite rightly what he was trying to go against.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll have a legal team. You know, his lawyer will probably have a look at things, but I think that they've had their kind of their cards marked, if you like. They'll have had, you know, they'll have been very much chastened by what happened last year, and will not want to go down that route again if there is a semblance of doubt that they would be successful. But certainly, in terms of what Pete has just said about using data that was null and voided, you know, Jeff should, and I'm sure will be extremely angry. There's been no, I haven't seen any response from Jeff. I'm sure he'll be keeping his powder dry. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out over the next 7 to 14 days. On the flip side of that, some clubs who, you know, deserve a bit of success are going to get some, thankfully. Not all, you know, that hurts us, but clubs in our area, for instance, such as Hebburn Town and Stockton Town, hopefully will see some reward for two years of hard work and success. So at least there will be some winners out of this. But obviously not to our satisfaction.
So the way I come across it is, or come to it, is basically non-league is a different apple to the league systems.
Yeah.
Now we love our non-league game. We, you know, I can go to the ground and I can say hello to 80 people. Join as I'm walking around.
All right, stop trying to act like you're popular.
Yeah.
No, you say hi to one person, then no one else talks to you.
I can see him at 83.
Ah, there you go.
So
Trev can probably say hello to about 80 people in every bloody club in the South Coast.
Very true. Yeah. So we've all got friends. It's a family. You make friends and everything. People come from other clubs. You speak to them in the clubhouse. You're making friends all the time on non-league level. Now, my thing is, the FA don't understand non-league, and the people that are running leagues from the national South, I don't think some of them quite get it either. And they're just not fit for purpose, in my opinion.
No, you're right. Probably some of them will come from different professional backgrounds, non-sporting, that they're in those roles, from a business perspective rather than sporting.
It's like you say, like that Brian Barwick stepped down from his chairman due to the National League. Why has he done that? Is he can't handle the heat anymore?
Well, he's been non-existent. He's done, he'll have done things behind the scenes, but he hasn't publicly done anything, to my knowledge, for months. It stinks. It does. It stinks. But that is what happens in life.
I mean, God, can we imagine like doing a normal podcast? I mean, we started this blimmin' Premier Non League podcast during the first season, midway through what is the pandemic, and we thought we'd at least be able to get to the end of the season, but we haven't. God, can we imagine doing this on a normal season? We'd actually have things to talk about. We'll actually have football to talk about. We might have some chairmen that we might not have to slag off. We might have some chairmen of the leagues and stuff. We might not have to call out for their bad duties. There's always going to be decisions, but Christ, it's
go back to what I said. No integrity for 13 months.
No.
Yeah. Trevor, with the National League, did I see something that said that they're going to put a vote of no confidence in the National League board?
Yeah, 17 clubs have said they're happy to put forward the motion, led by Maidstone and Dorking Wanderers. They think the 17, I think it's 17 is nearly a third of the membership, so they think they've got enough numbers to push through an EGM. But if Barwick's going already, you know, that's the main head of doing absolutely nothing gone. Whether they want rid of Mark Ives, who stepped in after Tattershall and has been the the mouthpiece and the voice piece of the National League for the last, since I think November, December time. I don't know, but I think a lot of it's aimed at the board of directors who are chairman of clubs within the National League, which, you know, as it's always been the case. I know every time we've got Barnet got relegated from the Football League, Tony Clanshouse has been back on the National League board. When I when I followed Maidstone as I was growing up, Jim Thompson was also on the board then, until obviously they went into the Football League and he came off. But it's always been the case. But I think this year's shown that it needs to be an independent board with maybe just one or two clubs, you know, representative on it. But that should be a chief executive rather than a chairman, I think, to be honest. Not many clubs might have them, but, you know, that's the way it should be going forward. But it needs some reform. It's not, but then it's not just them, as you said earlier. The FA don't have a clue how non-leagues run, and that's been demonstrated by their dealings with the DCMS all the way through the last 12 months. It's, you know, taken other people to go, hang on, this is not how you do it at this level. You might do it at that level, but this is completely different. You know, let 300 people in, 600 people in, because it's comfortable. It's not a, you know, a stadium scenario where it needs that much policing and everything. So, you know, that you know, the FA's needed a massive overhaul for years. I can go back to when I was 14, involved in junior football on league committees then, and the hoops you had to jump through to wait for things to be done. You know, even at that level, and, you know, this is going back 30 years now, it's ridiculous. And it's, you know, no different now, really isn't. But you can't see it changing. That's the only problem.
Yeah. Do you think, Trevor, you know, you got these, like, obviously we had the chap from Dover, whose name escapes me. Who resigned from the board, as it were. If your team is in an actual league, should you be on the board in that league? Now, obviously, there's some very talented people who are directors and chairmen of clubs, etc. So, you know, so I think there's a conflict of interest there. So, you know, if they want to be on a board of a league, maybe they should do it on a league that their club's not in.
Yeah, I think
it's what I say about Bognor, though, and Jack Pearce. Like, why is he on the board? Sorry to interrupt, Trev, but I never understood.
I don't think Jack's on the Ishmin board. Jack's on about five or six different FA councils and boards. He's part of the, I think, the alliance system that sat through the restructure, and I think he's on the full FA council as well. I mean, quite a few years ago, probably going back to when I was doing the junior football stuff, I knew a lot more then about people within the FA that did four or five different jobs. So they'd be on a, you know, they might be on the disciplinary board, and then they might be on the, you know, one of the other boards, and then another one somewhere else, and, you know, doing something else like that. You know, whether, I imagine it's probably still the same now, because all those people were the same people then. They're now 30 years older, still doing the same stuff, but probably with the same views they had 30 years ago, you know, than they've, you know, the same as they've got now. So it needs to change, but you just can't see it ever happening. And that's going to damage the game more, you know, more than anything else.
Back to my question, Trev.
Run it by me again, Pete. As I said, though, I don't think, you know, there should be maybe one or two club representatives in a board of about some odd number, 13, 15, so that then the vote's got to be, you know, it can't be an even vote. But where do you find these independent people from, and who's going to vote them in, that sort of thing? Does it get a bit messy doing that? I don't know.
But certainly something definitely needs to change there, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't put chairman of the National League on a board for, say, the North or the South, because if you've got a grievance against a club for a player transfer or something like that, or when they've played you, you've not been enamoured with them, or the hospitality when you've played them in a cup tie, even that would cause conflict. It would have to be an independent all the way through, with just a couple of representatives, I think, from clubs. And that should be, you know, literally all the way down, I think, right the way till you get to about step four, because it's, you know, once you get to that point and you're properly paying players well and travelling distances, it gets a bit more serious than you've got, you know, from 5 to 7. So it needs that. Well, almost a lot of people said the whole game needs a regulatory body, you know, that's completely independent and probably would hammer half of the issues we've got with the Premier League and money siphoning out to the rest of the game, would solve a lot of that in one go. But it's who's going to be brave enough to make the call and then do it.
I think you have to remember that a lot of leagues, a lot of these leagues constitutionally, so like the constitutions probably were created a long time ago when the world was a very different place. And, you know, the with what's happened at the top level and, you know, astronomical amounts of money, as that's filtered through the levels, players want more money. It goes with the territory. So as clubs have become more professional, club structures have become more professional, they probably will have changed their constitutions to align with those movements. But the leagues and the competitions, their constitutions probably haven't changed.
No.
So unless you get constitutional change, you're not going to see change.
Yeah.
You might get different people, different names, but they're going to be working under the auspices of old constitutions. So you're never going to see change. The way I look at it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, going back to about 3 or 4 years when I was at WIC, I did look through the club constitution at one point. Then I looked at some things and thought, well, that looks actually quite outdated. That needs to change, and this needs to change, and that needs to be tweaked to fit something else, because it might have been great 40, 50, maybe even, you know, longer than that ago. But now it needs to be slightly different. I never actually got round to that point because I only stayed the secretary for a year. But, you know, as in what you say with the league constitutions and that, it does need to change. But is it ever going to?
Yeah.
There was a parliamentary report, wasn't there, about the FA a few years back? And I think that came out with the, you know, the things that the FA was, you know, not really fit for purpose. And I don't think anything was ever acted on.
No, I suppose it's difficult. Who do the FA report into?
Oh, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
FIFA. UEFA. UEFA.
And, you know, the pair of them are as corrupt as anything. So, you know, that's not...
we've seen plenty of them over
change,
the years.
Is it?
Over the years. Yeah. I mean, talking about, you know, just sort of moving it on from this a little bit, one thing that's happened over the last few weeks that we haven't had a chance to talk about is, you know, great to see Hornchurch from our level, our fans, getting to Wembley final. But, again, non-leaguers are being screwed because they're not allowed any fans in for the final. Why? When you've got the FA Cup semis have got 4,000 fans? Is it 4,000? 20,000. Bit less. Don't know where I got that from. It's probably the 4,000 they're allowed before. They've got 20,000 fans in for a test event. They've got
4,000, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought there is a test event. Is that the semi-finals? Is 4,000?
Yeah, I thought weren't the semi-finals 4,000, and then
Pete trying to make me look like a mug, and then he makes himself look like a mug.
Spurs and Man City got 20 for the Carabao Cup final.
Yeah,
I mean something like that. But they're trying to How can they? How can they say there's an event at Wembley? They're trying to say that they can't, for some reason, have it with fans. Each side banking the weekends, each side of them, they've got fans in. So why?
Yeah, because the crowds are not going to be supporters of the clubs. They're going to be local people given up. I think from maybe
health workers
backgrounds
and stuff,
being given opportunities to go to these games.
Yeah,
and probably the way I look at it, a lot of people will want to go to those games. So would local people from you know, that area of North London want to go? Will there be a clamour for tickets for the FA Vars and FA Trophy finals?
No.
Probably not. So the excuse they'll give will be, well, actually, it is not club fans that are going to these games.
Yeah. You're right there.
It's
such a shame.
Yeah, man. The sad thing is, it's one and only time, you know, a club, and not only club, might get to bloody Wembley. So, you know, it's like, use a bit of common sense. Say to him, right, you know, what's your average gate? Okay, you get 400 a week, 500 a week. Have 500 tickets, you know.
Yeah.
You can have a block each at Wembley.
Yeah.
you for that.
They could police that really easily and, you know, let the fans have their dream day as far as I'm concerned.
Hornchurch isn't even far from Wembley as itself. It's not that far.
Sure.
It's just a shame because I think, you know, I feel sorry for the fans because, you know, if it was one of our clubs, I'm sure Chris, you feel the same, South Shields and, you know, us for Worthing. If we got to a Wembley final and we couldn't actually go, there probably is a feasibility to do it. It's pure frustration.
2017 Shields reached the FA Vars final. And if, you know, when I look back at that, if I was told then you can't go, I'd have been devastated, absolutely devastated.
You could have flashed the press pass now, though, couldn't you?
Probably now, yes, I could, but I couldn't back then.
That's Pete's card. I'm surprised he hasn't tried to do it to get into these friendlies that we've been doing. Because
I was offered a commentary gig yesterday at St James's Park. FA Youth Cup, Newcastle versus Watford, fifth round, and Live Sports FM were providing coverage, and I was offered a summariser's role. Because I've worked with them before, but unfortunately I was working, so I couldn't do it.
Oh, got it.
But I would have been, you know, that would have been, I would have had a day trip at St James's Park. That would have been pretty cool. Yeah.
But that would have been really good.
That would have been really good, but that's what we're saying, that, you know, it would be great for supporters of, you know, for our area. The FA Vars final is Hebburn Town versus Consett. They're both northeast clubs, so the average gate, if you add the two together, you're looking at probably about 1,500 people tops.
How many of them would actually travel to Wembley as well? You know, you got to think, maybe take that down to 1,000. It's easily manageable.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
Why can't I have that final at St. James's Park or something?
But it's a prestigious, isn't it? It's a prestigious, though, isn't it? You'd rather almost... I mean, would you? If you could take it this, if you could have a final in your local backyard, if it was two back teams at a big Premier League stadium, or you can have it at Wembley without fans, what would you prefer?
You'd prefer it at Wembley, obviously, but I mean, in the current times, in a situation where you've got two North East clubs that have got to a final, then that would make logical sense to me. And if you said to the fans, right, we play at Wembley, but you can't come, we'll play at St James's Park, we can sort out the parking as soon as you get out of your car, from the car park, straight into the ground, COVID, you know, restrictions, all the rest of it, then I'm sure the fans would snap that up.
They would, but I think you then would have an argument where Newcastle, if it was at St James's, or Sunderland, if it was at the Stadium of Light, the supporters of those clubs might take umbrage because they are not currently allowed to watch games in the flesh. I wouldn't complain about it, but you would get some people complain about it because people like a moan. We all do, you know.
So we could do it, mate. Everyone's turned into a Karen, haven't they? Sorry to any Karens that are listening. I've just lost us our four listeners, probably. Sorry, they were called Karen.
It's true though,
and I do feel sorry. And you know, obviously, I'll be rooting for Hornchurch. So you know, I think PNLP favourite Chris Dixon. I mean, it's great to see him, and he obviously scored the winning penalty against Notts County to send them to. He did, didn't he? Everyone's sitting there blank face. Yeah, good. Trevor's a stat man. He should have said, yeah, straight away, nodding head now. But it was great to see him.
Chris Dixon scored the winning penalty.
Wicked. I've got it ticked off now. But it's good to see. And it's just so, so sad that they can't have fans in. But hopefully, as we say, September time, you know, when we're back to season in July, hopefully we can all be back to normal and seeing our games and teams.
I wanted to ask Chris one question. Chris, the Gateshead, goalkeeper.
Oh, is it Brendan Pearson? I can't remember. I'm not sure.
I can't remember his name, but there's rumours afoot down here.
Of
him possibly coming to Worthing.
Oh. I'm not sure.
You might have to edit that out, James. I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything, but he's been training with the Worthing squad.
You know, some people they don't like you talking about things when it's not like out in the open or something like that. Get told off, get a spank bottom.
Gateshead goalkeeper. I'm not sure.
I can't remember his name there. It's gone. I thought you might know him.
No.
Harrison Marley.
That's the one. Harrison Marley. Yeah.
From Gateshead. He's 21, former Leeds Academy and played for England under 16.
Oh.
I mean, we need a goalkeeper because we keep loaning them from Blimmin Brighton and they don't even complete a season.
Yes,
we had Carl Rutherford.
Like a change from Worthing to have a permanent goalkeeper.
And the one person we did want to sign, he didn't want to get into shape. So it's a bit of a sort of double-edged sword there. We just can't seem to sign a goalkeeper. But, you know, it'd be good. I think we'll find, though, and we have said it before, that there will be players from, you know, real talented players that are without a club because of budget cuts, because of everything that in the professional leagues and even national leagues. So you might see a few players. And obviously, Chris, as you're saying, with South Shields going full time, you're going to attract players in that way.
Within days, players and agents were on the phone, you know, because there are going to be a lot of players who realise that there is going to be that lack of finance, but with South Shields, you're going to get reasonably at our level, hugely well paid. In football terms, reasonably well paid.
Yeah, but at the same time, Chris, South Shields have got to be very wise about the players they pick, that they're not just coming in for a little pay packet.
That's the good thing. You know, I mean, I think of a player, someone like Sefton Gonzalez, for instance, who Sefton, well, you lads probably aren't aware of him, but he's basically done his own mystery tour of football clubs in the Northern Premier League. He came to South Shields, all supporters were warning us about him. And to be fair, he put a great shift in, was really influential. He's a real handful. He's 6'5" and he's built like a brick outhouse, as they say. And a real handful for defenders. But he just seems to fall out with clubs and teammates. And I mean, he went AWOL for a week. Management didn't know where he'd gone. And he's just signed for Clitheroe yesterday. So, the good thing is the Shields management team don't stand for any nonsense. So they do their due diligence on a lot of things. And if you don't fit the criteria, you won't get a gig. It's as simple as that. So Shields are, well, to coin a phrase, it's going to be a buyer's market.
100%.
Unless you play for Barnet this
season. Well, as I said to you, Trevor, I think there'll be a seller's market, because I think, you know, as I've said, that they need to restructure. They need to almost get rid of the whole team and rebuild, because it's kind of like what I saw. It's different, but obviously with Charlton, when we won League One back in 2012, like, they completely cleared out the old squad and it worked. You know, I think sometimes clubs that have got to a stage where they're really struggling, and, you know, obviously you're lucky, again, there's no relegation, but, you know, you'd be down in probably the Conference South next season if it wasn't for this COVID thing. I think they need to have a rebuild, and hopefully with a new management squad. I mean, I know you touched on it, Trev, but National League, it's quite a tight running at the top at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, very tight. Yeah, looking really, really, really good. Three-way race between Hartlepool, Sutton, Torquay.
My heart's for Sutton, because there's a couple of ex-Worthing players there, but also Torquay.
Yeah. But I mean, Mac Gray's done a fantastic job. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that when they appointed him after Paul Doswell left, and obviously, you know, Doswell's a really good, manager at that level. He's done, you know, doing well down at Haven as well. I didn't think Matt Gray was going to cut it last year. They struggled a little bit. This year, they've absolutely flown out the blocks. They've not fallen away. They've only lost 4 games out of 31 this year. They've got four games in hand on Hartlepool at the top, and they're only a point behind. And they host Torquay tomorrow night, which is an absolutely massive game. Sutton can afford to lose. They can afford to draw. Torquay have got games in hand on Hartlepool as well. I think, yeah, what have they got? They've got three in hand, I think, but they've played a game more than Sutton. So Torquay really need the 3 points.
But I really think if Sutton do end up getting promoted, Wayne Shaw needs to come back and eat an honorary pie at the end of season celebration.
I think they're a little bit more professional these days, though. But yeah, I mean, I fancy Sutton literally, you know, for their games in hand. But I mean, both them and Hartlepool, both 14 games unbeaten as well. The ironic thing is that the last weekend of the season, the National League would be allowed fans back in because it's after the 17th of May. Now, Hartlepool finished the week before because they're the unlucky team on the last weekend that should be playing Dover. Mm. Hartlepool's last game on that penultimate Saturday is a trip to Sutton. So that could be, yeah, an absolute title decider that day.
Amazing.
You know, you could write, you know, a bit like Fulham and Newcastle on the last day of the season in the Premier League. You know, you couldn't have written this one, Sutton and Hartlepool, you know, any better really. But, you know, it's been, and ironically, Hartlepool, obviously not playing on that final Saturday, will be the only club not to get a home game with fans in. So they could win the league potentially and not send a fan inside this stadium all year, yet the other 22 clubs the following weekend. You know,
I guess you have to wonder, I wonder with restrictions, would they maybe have some sort of gathering at their ground to watch the result come in and the possibility of them winning the title? You'd think they might hopefully organise something like that.
Well, someone I saw it muted the other day that maybe they move one of Hartlepool's home games to the final, you know, either to the Tuesday because Barnet play the Tuesday night after the restrictions lift as well. So they're going to end up with two games where potentially they can have people into the Hive. So whether they'll allow Hartlepool to move a home game from the next 4 weeks into that Tuesday night slot, just so they do get people in. I don't know whether that'd be that, what's the word, ingenious about it, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The thing is, Trevor, I think it's going to be between Sutton and Torquay, to be honest, in my opinion.
Yeah,
with the games in hand. I know you, whenever you've got games in hand, you say, I'd rather have the points on the board.
Yeah.
Most clubs do, but when there's like three games and four games in hand, then you and what do you say, they're ahead by a point?
Yeah.
So I'd rather have the games in hand and think I'm going to.
Is that just because they've got two sets of ex-Worthing players in, Pete, and you just would be happy for any of them?
Yeah, and Hartlepool and Northern.
Oh, here we go. Let's start the North-South divide. Here we go. It's going so well.
I've got to say that I've seen all three sides.
I have to get it in.
I've seen all three sides this season, though, in action. And I mean, Hartlepool are fantastic. Sutton have got that just grit and determination, I think. And that shows by only losing four games this season out of 31, you know, is almost, you know, deserved to be champions, to lose that few amount of games in quite a competitive division. But you know, I mean, Torquay led the, you know, I think I look back to Boxing Day, they hammered Yeovil 6-1 at Plainmoor and they were 9 points clear. They played a couple of games more than everyone else, but they were romping away with it. And then the last two or three months, the wheels have come off and Hartlepool and Sutton have really put some runs together. But yeah, with you, Pete, I would pick Sutton just because they can afford to have a couple of dicky games still. You know, and they've got, I think, what have they got now? They've got 11 to play, I think. Hartlepool have got something like 7. So, you know, they can afford the odd bad one. Hartlepool can't let up. They've got to continue that 14-game unbeaten run. And Torquay have got most of their injured players back as well. So, you know, it's going to be a good 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
No, it will be. It'll be an interesting running because it's the only real football we can really talk about in this podcast. Mm-hmm. There's only one league, and any friendlies that are going on. I mean, maybe it comes to the summer and we do the Premier Euro 2020 podcast for a couple of weeks just for to get some sort of action.
Can't be over that. International football's rubbish.
What, until England are doing well, or just in general?
Not interested in international.
I am interested when it's, I guess it's more of a Glory fan when it's actually the finals, but friendlies and qualifiers, I'm not really bothered about, to be fair.
Terrible.
What is it you don't like about it, Chris? Go on, pray tell.
It's just the entertainment factor, zero.
Well, I think it could be entertainment to have you. If we do the Premier Euro 2020 podcast, we can have you as a, like, guy in the corner just slagging everything off and we'll be like, yeah, go England. Yeah. Like, this is crap.
That'll be good.
Because I think, I mean, on the side, I think it is coming up soon that they're deciding the venues, aren't they, for the Euro 2020? I still don't get why they call it Euro 2020. I know it's like the fit, just call it Euro 21. Just it's like the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, but it's not. It's 2021 now. But it's one of those things, isn't it? But you know, I think I'm looking forward to it even more this year, just because I think I look at the fact that England did so well in the World Cup last time. It'd be interesting to see if we can do as well in the Euros this time. I don't know if anyone feels the same.
I'll be watching cricket, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, well, that's even more boring. You say cricket, entertainment, no chance.
Just watched a game on tonight in Indian Premier League. Just an incredible game of cricket.
To be fun, the fast stuff's all right.
It's 2020 is brilliant.
The test stuff I can't be bothered with. That's it. I just.
Australia.
Yeah, one of the best memories I've got is being at the Ashes in 2005. Just incredible.
Ashes is something else.
Yeah.
I mean, saying that, but Chris, if you go back a lot of years, us playing against the West Indies, when they're the likes of Walsh, Richards, Dijon.
You're listening to the Premier Cricket League podcast on Spotify right now. What? Oh, sorry.
There's no football to talk about, is there?
Well, maybe we can think about this, do some summer specials. You and Trev could do a Premier Cricket League podcast. Me and Pete will do a Premier Euro 2020 podcast. Maybe we'll do a Premier NBA podcast or something.
Premier Pub podcast.
Yeah. Premier Pub podcast. Well, is that when we come up to South Shields and have a podcast up there.
just broadcast from the pub one of the Euro games, couldn't we?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'd be that those memes. I just always remember seeing, like, you know, when we did so well and that first goal we scored in the semi-final with Kieran Trippier scoring that.
Yeah, and all the glasses going everywhere. And, like,
Hyde Park, just wasting all that beer that probably cost them about a tenner a pint.
You won't see that this time. Nobody will be wasting beer now.
That West Indies team in the 80s,
yes,
unbelievable, wasn't it?
Oh, superb, yeah.
But used to hammer us, didn't they?
Five nil out there. Well, those bouncy pitches couldn't do anything against, could you? Kirtley Ambrose, Courtney Walsh.
Anyway, gentlemen, I think this is a conversation that's going quite south quite quickly, and it's mainly my fault. So, anyway, it's been. I think it's time to wrap it up. It has been good. Unless anyone's got anything to say, Pete, have you got any shout outs?
No.
No, he hasn't got any shout outs. He's quite happy. It's been a pleasure seeing you guys again. I think in 2 weeks' time, we'll see what we are. If we can get an interview with a player, we might do that. If we get us all in the room again, we might do that. I guess you have to stay tuned to find out. Follow on the socials at the PNLP. Gentlemen, I hope you stay safe. Look after yourselves. Maybe we'll have some more news of any sort of football. Maybe there'll be fans allowed in, because I know they are talking about it for these trophy vast finals.
Or maybe the FA will wind me up again.
I'm sure that doesn't take much. But it's been a pleasure, gentlemen. Look after yourselves, and we'll see you on the next edition. Good night. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
The Premier Non-League Podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.